you stay in a lover's story. If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Will you stay in a lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of the Home Videodrome Podcast.
The premiere episode.
The premiere episode. I'm your host, Hunter Dusing, and with me here is Mr. Jim Dirks of the Film Thugs Movie Show.
How do, indeed.
Mm-hmm. So, what this is I do a weekly column for Park Bench and Big Hollywood called Home Videodrome, and it covers Blu-rays and DVDs, as you might know if you're visiting from those sites. But I thought it would be fun to expand it into like a weekly podcast, see how it goes, just kind of an experiment and get some legs.
An experimental podcast. It's going to be nothing but us hitting garbage cans with sticks for the next hour.
And it's going to be a commentary on our like sexual repression. You know?
And how it relates to home video. It's really up to you to decide. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life.
We're the Kenneth Angers of podcasting.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone can kiss our ass.
But so, you know, if you're from Park Bench or Big Hollywood, welcome. If you're from the Film Thugs, because this is going to be going up on your feed at the Film Thugs Movie Show.
Uh-huh.
Welcome, of course. And if you're from, I also co-host a podcast, The Midnight Movie Cowboys. If you're a listener of ours, welcome. But so, yeah. So, Jim.
Yes.
What you been seeing lately?
Okay, yesterday, I normally watch a lot of the television just because I'm a huge fan of what they do with narrative there nowadays. Like, to me, broadcast television's where it's at. But I watched a movie yesterday. We our most recent episode that launches Sunday, so it's out right now, is called Underdogs or Assholes, where we look at underdog movies and see, is this person really an underdog who deserves to win, or are they an asshole who just got lucky?
And, you know, I was listening to that just before we started recording.
Uh-huh.
And you guys hit on something really nice there.
Yeah?
Where, just real quick, you hit on that, like, the people making these movies are artists who, you know, have probably, you know, grew up as outcasts.
Yep.
And therefore hate people who are successful.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a movie like The King of Kong where this guy who should be working is instead playing Donkey Kong. And meanwhile, there's this guy who's really awesome at what he does, and he's the bad guy.
Yeah, he succeeds in everything, but he's the bad guy because he's good.
As he is.
And he's and he's not like, oh, I'm so sorry I'm good at this. Like, fuck, man. Why am I apologizing for not sucking? Jesus, what has the world come to?
But I just thought that was great how you guys illuminated how most underdog movies are just such
such crap. But the one I watched was kind of genuinely heartwarming, but the way it was put together was such bullshit. It's called it popped up on all these lists that I saw, and it was called The Perfect Game. And it's about this Mexican Little League team that goes on into the Little League World Series. And it is like, it's like they checked out a book called Cliched Sports Movies and How to Write Them, and went fucking chapter by chapter on it, page by page. It has everything. The kid whose father's like disconnected from him, the guy who's kind of a drinker and had some success before. And it's like, you could count out, okay, at this point this is gonna happen, at this point this is gonna happen, and in 3, 2, 1 they're gonna find this out, and in 3, 2, 1 it was that. But at the same time, it had some genuine heartwarming shit in it, you know?
Yeah.
But it was just as trite as you could hope to find. I mean, it's got Clifton Collins Jr. It's got Louis Gossett Jr. Oh, yeah. It has David Kochner is in it for some reason. Bruce McGill pops up for a second. It's got everyone. Got a lot of Mexicans because it's set in Mexico for the most part. So it's got a lot
that
of actors whose names
lots of Mexicans in Mexico.
It's got a lot of actors whose names I don't know because, like, wait a minute, you're not a mainstream actor. Oh, it's got Cheech Marin playing a priest.
Of course. So he always plays a priest.
Yeah, well, it's because he's now reached that point where he's got the sort of delicate look of of the kindly Hispanic priest in your neighborhood, you know?
Yeah, he does. He does look like, he doesn't look like the guy who's strung out on weed.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's cleaned up nicely.
Speaking of Dave Kochner, whatever his name is.
Whatever.
You know what his son's name is?
No.
Sarge.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of, oh, I read I read a thing recently. Speaking of stupid baby names, even though Sarge isn't that stupid. Have you heard Gwyneth Paltrow's explanation why she named her baby Apple?
I don't know, but the name Apple Martin sounds like a date rape drink.
It really does. Yeah. Oh, man. It really does. But no, she said it's because apples are healthy and wholesome, and it's biblical.
Oh. So what? Somebody's going to eat her baby, and it's going to cause original sin?
I don't know, but all I can say is the only mention of apples in the fucking Bible is directly tied to the only appearance of Satan.
I know.
So it's
that's
like,
why I'm like, that's
the
confusing.
Hell, sweetheart. Oh my God. I just, like, really? Really?
I named my kid Snake. It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Look
yes,
it up.
Exactly. Look it up. You ever heard of it? It's called the Bible.
I named this boy Cain and this one Abel.
Shouldn't.
This is going to turn out real well.
Shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
So what have you watched?
I went to go see Attack the Block on Friday.
Uh-huh.
And that movie was awesome.
Yeah, I saw you were ranting about how everyone needs to check that out.
Yeah, like, if you like genre sci-fi movies, if you like John Carpenter movies,
uh-huh,
if you like movies like The Warriors,
right,
you must see this movie.
So, like, oh, if you, I think what you're looking for there is if you used to like John Carpenter movies,
right,
then
right,
this
right.
is a movie for you.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Like, but it's about a bunch of hoodies in the UK. It's a British movie, and it's produced by Neera Park and Edgar Wright, people behind Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, Spaced, Scott Pilgrim.
Mm-hmm.
And it has Nick Frost in it. But it's about these hoodies in this kind of apartment complex, this kind of a slummy apartment complex in the UK, and they're
called Tower Blocks.
Tower Blocks, yes. They get attacked by aliens, and they're running around in this apartment with these big furry aliens with glowing teeth running around chasing them. But it has that, like, John Carpenter-type score.
Okay,
like,
cool.
Lots of synthesizer.
Kind of minimalist synthesizer.
Well, it's got a little bit of a hip-hop vibe to it.
Uh-huh.
But it's not too much. You still, like, feel like, ah, this is very John Carpenter.
Uh-huh.
But it also kind of has that sort of, kind of cool punk kids look that The Warriors has, but it has a bit more of a like a realist edge because the kids, the way they talk is very, it's kind of that brutal slang that kids have, you know?
Nice.
And but yeah, it's just got some great action, and it was just a ton of fun. And I followed that up with a screening of Charade.
Oh, nice. You can't go wrong with Charade.
No, I'd never seen it before, and it was delightful.
It's the best Hitchcock movie that's not directed by Hitchcock.
Yeah, indeed. I'd heard it was kind of quirky and strange, but it was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a just biting sort of way, like Cary Grant always making these weird funny faces.
Yeah.
But
Cary Grant has some wackiness to him.
He does. I was wondering, I always associate him with James Bond.
Yeah.
And it's probably because he's made the best Bond movies that Bond wasn't a character
right,
in.
Right, right. He was one of the considered for Bonds back in the day.
Definitely.
Yeah.
He
does. He totally has that. It's, although I will say he is a little more of the Roger Moore Bond than the Connery.
Oh, definitely. You wouldn't see him like beating the
slapping a woman.
Some women.
Just cause
it's the 60s and we can get away with it.
Cause it's what he does.
But yeah, he definitely would have been more of the Roger Moore school.
Yeah.
And I also watched Cyrus yesterday.
Oh, that thing.
Ugh. Yeah, I was good.
Yes.
I liked it.
It was fine.
It's you know, it's a little bit mainstream. I guess the term is mumblecore.
Yeah, and I'm not a huge fan of mumblecore.
I'm not either, but this one, but the Duplass brothers, the guys who did this, the ones of theirs...
Puffy Chair, right?
I don't know. The only other one of theirs I've seen is Baghead.
I've heard good things about Baghead.
Baghead was good. But they, I think, pay more attention to things like character and story.
Okay.
Than other quote-unquote mumblecore directors who I just kind of think make self-indulgent slice-of-life movies.
I've seen one other mumblecore. I've seen that in Adventureland. In Adventureland, I was like, I don't give a shit.
I wouldn't call Adventureland quote-unquote. Again, this is like critics wanting to put everything into a box.
Right.
But a lot of mumblecore movies are really like micro-budget indie type things, like Hannah Takes the Stairs. And
I will say I saw Harmony in Me at last year's AFF. Actually, 2 years ago, AFF, and it's that is very mumblecore, and I would have liked it a whole lot more had the director not been such a colossal fucking shithead in the question and answer afterwards.
Who's the director?
There's a guy named Bob Byington, and basically at the end of the movie, he was like, he went up with the producer and one of the actresses to do a Q&A, and he was like, apparently this is like the first year they've done a digital projection of it, and the colors were a little bit off, and he was like, I'm speechless at how terrible this looked. I mean, we made a movie that looked really good, and I'm speechless.
He's one of those.
And someone raised their hand and asked him a question, and everyone on stage kind of paused and looked at him, and he looked up like, oh, what, me? And he goes, no, speechless. And refused to answer the question. And then, somebody said to him, like, hey, but, you know, we all enjoyed it and we want to talk about it. He's like, I don't know, well, maybe, you know, I could show some grace. And he killed the Q&A. He absolutely fucking killed the Q&A.
Oh,
and
man.
And so, I enjoyed it somewhat, but I will never push for anyone to see that movie because I don't want an asshole like that getting any more attention. And here's the thing. I come from theater. I come from a background in that. I don't give a fuck how upset you are. I was exiting at the end of an act in a play in high school, and my foot slipped off the edge of something, and I rammed my knee into a piece of the set, and it ripped the pants I was wearing and gave me a 4-inch gash up my leg covering my knee. And I had to enter after the intermission, so I had like 8 minutes. And I ran backstage and wrapped my leg in toilet paper so that I could contain the blood somewhat, and went out and made my entrance. If me, as a fucking high school actor who's not getting paid, can do that, then you can suck it up and say, you know, it didn't look that good. It upsets me because I wanted you guys to have that experience. But, you know, hey, let's make the best of it. To make it up to you for how that looked, I'm going to make this a really awesome Q&A.
Exactly.
You don't sit there and pitch a fucking diva fit. You're not Steven Spielberg. No one knows who you are, prick.
No, exactly. I mean, I fell flat on the back on my back one time during a theater production on stage in the middle of everybody.
Yeah,
like did one of those things where you just go, like,
yeah,
shoot your feet forward, just jump back up, and just kept going.
Yeah,
nothing happened.
You continue going because that's what you're supposed to fucking do.
The show must go on,
and with,
sirs.
With this, where it's about people going there to enjoy your film, it bugs me that he's that big of a shitheel about it. Show some, yes, indeed, show some fucking grace.
But the indie movie scene is full of
self-important cocksuckers.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyway.
All right.
Well,
that's a good way to start the show.
Yeah.
Self-indulgent cocksuckers.
Speaking of self-indulgent cocksuckers, yeah. our first release this week is the Blu-ray for Citizen Kane.
Uh-huh. Which is teamed with the most unfortunate film ever, The Magnificent Ambersons. Not that it's a bad movie, but it's unfortunate in that that the studio recut it and then destroyed the additional footage so that it could never be restored.
Exactly, and Orson Welles was always like, oh, Ambersons was the best thing I ever made. Too bad they ruined it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, but, you know, there are always rumors that, like, oh, some footage may have been
somewhere. It's out there. What I
it's
do,
in Argentina in a vault somewhere.
What I do like about Welles, though, is the fact that he said he maintained through his life, if I were given the same level of creative freedom, I could make something better than Citizen Kane today.
Yeah.
If I were given that level of control over it, and
you know, we joke saying self-indulgent cocksuckers, but Orson Welles is one of the most talented people to ever get behind a camera.
Yes. But he is one that I think Citizen Kane shows what you can do when you are given creative control over what you are creating.
Yes.
You know, he's writing, producing, directing, and acting in it. If you're doing all those things, some studio guy is not going to know what's best for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, granted, we get into marketing and all that crap with it, but it's just, oh, come on, dude. It's a fucking, let the person who knows the story tell the story.
Yeah.
And with Kane, I mean, that's one where I don't like the way people react to Kane now, because it's such a, they don't recollect from whence the movie comes, you know? It's like, it's like, oh, well, you know, this has been done before, and it's not really all. It's like, no, you have to look at what this film was when it was made. Yeah. Don't look at it from today's eyes. That's like saying, I don't like The Searchers because they were a little sexist in it. It was 1850s, motherfucker. Realize what you're talking about before you cast dispersions.
Citizen, no, yeah, I have some friends who, like, refuse to watch The Searchers because of political reasons.
Get the head out of the ass, son. It's the way life is. But, like, Citizen Kane is magnificent. And, I mean, the more you look into it, the more cool shit you see that he does. And the fact that he was making it up as he went along, hell, that deserves the respect that it has.
Oh, definitely.
But, of course, you don't take on the guy who owns every third newspaper on the planet and expect to walk away unscathed.
Oh, yeah, there's a great documentary. It was on the DVD, but it's been ported over to this, called The Battle for Citizen Kane.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it chronicles basically the lives of Orson Welles and William Randolph Hearst.
Uh-huh.
And but then it gets into the battle and Hearst's basically double, just going all in and trying to destroy Citizen Kane.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, just filling his papers with bad press about the movie, about Welles, you know, because Hearst didn't give a shit if his news stories were real or not. He just wanted to manipulate the narrative.
Yeah. And that's all it was about. And he manipulated it so brilliantly. And that's that, more than anything, is Welles's trademark.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at his history and directing stuff, have you seen the movie Me and Orson Welles?
No, I haven't. I've been meaning to, though.
Really fucking good, man. It's really good. The guy who plays Orson Welles was amazing.
I know. Didn't he get nominated for an Oscar?
He did, but he ran into the buzzsaw of Christoph Waltz.
Yes, he did. That's
so, yeah, sorry.
Because I remember that year everybody was like, man, that guy doesn't have a chance, but, you know, any other year he would have walked away with it.
Exactly,
know?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But, yeah, Amberson's I've never seen, just because it's like, I don't want to see a hacked masterpiece, you know?
That's the thing, is like, I'll probably end up getting Citizen Kane on Blu-ray.
Right.
And if it comes with it, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
But certainly the history of it will taint that viewing.
Yeah, it's impossible to see what it's meant to be.
Right. So. It that's always a bitch when you go into a movie and you know that something's missing from it.
Yeah.
Or that
something's
been cut or something's been altered.
Well, and that it's something
it's harder to enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, especially when it's something this significant. But you know, what can you do?
Right.
But speaking of significant works, Thor comes out on DVD.
Oh my goodness, Thor.
I haven't.
Oh my goodness.
I have no interest at all in seeing this.
I saw it in the theater and I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. It's it's not great cinema. It's not, you know, it has like so many of the blockbusters I've seen this year, particularly of the comic book variety, have deep problems on a script level.
And some
more so than others, like Green Lantern, which was just irredeemable.
Again,
on all
no interest in seeing it.
Believe me, you should never ever waste your time on that garbage.
Right.
But Thor was a movie that kind of, it had these weaknesses, but how entertaining it was kind of overcompensated for it. I mean, not overcompensated, but compensated for that.
Right.
I mean, because it starts off, you have this sort of big, epic, Robert E. Howard-ish type story with Thor going on an adventure with his buddies. And then it kind of turns into a fish-out-of-water comedy.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually quite funny, I thought. Like, Thor walking into pet stores screaming, bring me a horse! but it's just, it kind of, and then it goes into, like, back into its epic, you know, struggle between family and brothers and stuff. But the problem I have with it is with all these movies, the female character is just not there. Like, these guys writing screenplays in Hollywood have no idea how to write women. Well,
they're
mostly.
Probably because that most of them don't know how to talk to women.
Yeah. I mean,
most writers ain't exactly cool cats, you know. There's a handful that are that are worth a shit, but so many of them are just like, no, I write because I don't like to be around people.
Yep. Wow. I want to be my own boss.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, it just feels like that there are these female characters in these movies because the script demands there to be.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And there's a love story because the script says there should be one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's a female lead because, well, movies need that, right?
Yeah,
gotta,
exactly.
Gotta cover the bases, you know?
Uh-huh.
So yeah. But I think it's a fun movie. I enjoyed it. It's definitely better than most of the other blockbusters that came out this summer, but it's not like...
saying a whole hell of a lot.
No, it's not. This summer was pretty weak.
Yeah, I think I went to the theater maybe twice this summer. Didn't feel the need to see anything else. Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing is, like, I liked a lot of the movies I saw.
Right.
But they were just okay movies.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
There were some really bad ones. There were some that everybody was going nuts over Super 8. I thought that movie was terrible.
Eh.
J.J. Abrams is just a hype carnival machine.
Yeah, he really
machine.
Is. I'll see it at some point, but I don't have any expectations for it.
And Cowboys and Aliens just...
All that I saw this summer really was Harry Potter and Tree of Life. I mean, I just didn't...
I didn't see Harry Potter because I haven't seen any past three, but I hear it was good. Tree of Life was amazing.
Yeah, this last one was the best Harry Potter movie to me.
Yeah. Okay.
So at least that's something.
Strong point to go out on.
Thor was better than nothing. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's better than Green Lantern.
Right. Now next up, I think we got a trip. We're going to kind of go through these three because they're ones that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
Conan O'Brien Can't Stop. I would have seen it, but it was on... the only way I could was on... pay-per-view, and
yeah.
For some reason, like, I'll drop $10 to see a movie in the theater. If it had been playing in the theater, I would have gone and seen it, but I wouldn't pay $8, because for some reason, I'm like, that seems expensive, because to me, watching it instant means Netflix. It's already paid for.
Yep.
Then I'm
yep.
like, you want me to pay more?
I know. I've
no!
I've never done the on-demand thing. It's just... Yeah.
I could probably go watch right now on demand, and I'd be probably very happy that I did, but it's
right.
just a psychosomatic thing with me, you know, like, I
yeah.
can't do this.
And this thing covers Conan in the wake of his, you know, ousting from The Tonight yeah. Show. He did that tour
yeah.
that sold out, and...
Which I'm tired of people saying Jay Leno's the bad guy in that. Jay Leno's choice was, I either take The Tonight Show back or I put all of the people in my production company out of work.
Yeah, I mean,
was kind of a dick, and Conan's lawyers fucked his contract up because they
yep.
didn't get time slot guarantee on it. So, I mean...
There were a lot of crossed wires,
yes.
and angry fans basically wanted Jay Leno's head.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, Jay, I don't think he's funny, but...
Yeah, I haven't been a fan of his in years.
I mean, you know, he's a guy with an enormous head who goes, all the time.
He's no Carson. I mean, that's...
No,
sure.
Oh, hell no. I was listening to some comedian on the Adam Carolla Show the other day. I think it was Andrew Dice Clay, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how... What Carson did when he had a comedian on his show is he would let that comedian kind of shine, you know?
Right.
And he said, comedians go on Jay Leno and Jay's got to one-up him.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
You know?
That's
like,
Jay has to make fun of you. He's got to be the head doll, this shit. And it's, yeah, Johnny was brilliant at letting you be great.
Yeah. I mean, Johnny was like, hey, this is your 15 minutes right here.
Mm-hmm.
This will help you.
Yeah.
This will help promote you. I'm going to let you promote yourself.
Have at it.
That's what
yeah.
this show is here for.
Uh huh.
Whereas Jay's got to, he's got to be the dominant dog. He's got to be the grayback ape of
yeah.
comedy.
Yeah.
You know?
Fucking alpha male.
Yeah. And Meek's Cutoff is a Western with Michelle Williams that it's gotten a lot of good press. I think it takes place during the kind of Oregon Trail times.
Right.
So people, I don't know. Maybe
people
Michelle Williams dies of
dysentery. She kills
or gets killed while going down the river on a raft.
The whole story is about how she kills too much meat and can't bring it all back.
Exactly. She went hunting too much.
Yeah.
Killed too many squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
The cover is her brandishing a gun, so I'll bet that's what happens.
I'm totally down with that. Michelle Williams can pull a gun on me anytime she'd like, if you know what I mean. Definitely. I mean that she's attractive. But,
yes, of course. Hesher,
dude, I give Joseph Gordon-Levitt is a badass.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen this, but not because I didn't want to. It's just because it played for such a brief period.
Yeah, it was one of those little indies with big stars in it.
Yeah, that I want to see it, and I will see it just because I like the Gordon-Levitt. The kid's a badass. I'm looking forward to seeing what else he's got in him, you know?
I mean, yeah, it's and there's a lot of metal in this one.
And
it's,
so, yeah, I'm down with that.
And it's, you know, the Hesher, it looks like the Metallica font.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, yeah, the trailer for it just, it's got Master of Puppets playing. No, Battery,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Playing over it. And, but it's got Joseph Gordon-Levitt. It's got Natalie Portman, again with the Portman.
Mm-hmm.
And Rainn Wilson.
Yeah. So it could be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out for sure.
Uh-huh.
Cool. Next up, we got another. It seems like it's been raining Coen Brothers movies on Blu-ray.
Yeah, yeah.
Like every week, it's been something else. This week, we got Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is one that I always hold up as my common experience with Coen Brothers films. I never judge it by my first viewing because the first time I saw Oh Brother, I thought, well, that was fine. That
yeah.
was entertaining. Why is everyone making such a big deal about it? It wasn't that yeah. great. It was good. It was decent. And then I watched it, and I watched it again later and was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay, this thing is great. And
yeah.
that's exactly what happened to me with, you know, Big Lebowski.
Yeah,
and,
Big Lebowski's one that gets better every time I watch it. A Serious Man, I know you're not, I don't think you're a fan of that movie.
No, I don't,
right?
I don't know anyone who is a fan of that movie.
I am.
Really?
But that one gets better subsequent
viewings. It would have to.
No Country for Old Men, I think people love it until the end.
Yeah. The end doesn't really hold up very strong. Burn After Reading, I didn't care for the first time I saw it. Now that thing makes me laugh myself stupid.
Oh my gosh, that movie's that's
so good.
What was it? Mark Kermode described that movie pretty well. He said it's pretty attractive, smart people playing stupid, ugly people.
Yes. Uh-huh. I'm better. I'm back, you fuckers.
Motherfuckers. I'm back. I'm back.
It's good. I mean, and so, yeah, does anyone really need to be told to fucking pick up Oh Brother on Blu-ray?
I think if you need to be told, you might hate America.
Yeah, so. And you need to think about that.
Yeah. I've always thought that Oh Brother, by the way, packaging wise, should come in a Dapper Dan tin.
That would be awesome. Yeah,
yeah. I've always thought that. I don't know why what they're doing.
It'll happen at some point. I mean, Big Lebowski
yeah,
keeps getting released in bowling balls, so yeah.
I know. I was about to say that. I mean, yeah,
they can make that shit happen.
They keep finding different ways to package Lebowski and repackage it and re-release it and redo it and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
I'm surprised we haven't. I mean, oh my gosh. If we ever get the Little Lebowski movie, I'm going to shoot somebody in the head.
I'm going to jump
off a cliff. Oh, jeez.
It's never going to happen, so.
God, I hope not.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we got a couple of Criterion releases next. Both of them are Blu-ray releases of movies that they'd already had out. Robert Altman's Three Women and My Life as a Dog.
All that I can say about them is that they're happening. So
yes,
there you go.
Three Women's got your favorite actress, Shelley Duvall, in it.
Standing
so
there looking vapid and lost.
Yes, I know, with her big eyes. And
half of her fucking body weight is those eyes. man. Yeah.
But anyways, they're Criterion, so they're probably worth seeing.
They're going to look beautiful.
They're going to look lovely, and the packaging will be gorgeous.
Speaking of something
darling.
That the words gorgeous and lovely can't apply to, Trainspotting comes out as well.
Oh gosh.
Danny Boyle's
heartwarming tale of junkies and dead babies.
Yep. Yep, it's
crawling
this,
on the ceiling.
This is one that was so tough for me to get into because it had that everyone was thinking, oh my god, this is so great, it's revolutionary, it's this and that, and I was like,
uh-huh.
Oh, kiss my ass, I'm not going to see. I need y'all jokers telling me what to see.
It's one of those movies of the '90s that everybody just
Everyone had the fucking poster, the choose life, choose this, choose that posters on the wall. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of just that put me off to it because it was just like a bunch of shitheads who didn't know anything saying, this is great. And I'm like, oh, well, you're a moron, so I'll take that into account. Yeah. But it's really good. It's really damn good. I'm kind of glad that they haven't. There's a book follow up to it.
Called
Porno. And I'm kind of glad that they've never made it because it's like, just leave that in its own world. Mm-hmm. Leave Trainspotting there. We don't need to see what happens afterwards.
Yeah.
So.
No, yeah. I mean, it ends on a perfectly fine note.
Yes,
we don't need to bring Ewan McGregor back again.
Although Ewan McGregor isn't the main character and it's Sick Boy is.
That's right.
But, yeah, so it's decent. Next up is one that that not enough people have seen, in my opinion. And that's The Frighteners.
Yeah,
didn't mean to jump tracks there, but I was like, I looked down and saw The Frighteners, and that made me go, hey, I'm going to talk about this now, sorry.
Well, I mean, I like The Frighteners. It was the first movie that was done by Weta Studios. That was the inception there for that group that would, you know, go on to challenge ILM's crown for special effects.
Yeah,
but I kind of like Jackson's other horror movies more. But I think The Frighteners is a lot of fun. It's produced by Robert Zemeckis, and it kind of shows. Yeah.
Well,
but I can't tell if it's because Michael J. Fox is in it.
Right, right. Well, what I liked about it was that it's one of the few movies that's really fun and doesn't mistake being stupid for being fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's enjoyable. It's a fun little rant. You kind of a fun little ride. They do some cool shit in it that's kind of scary. The parts that are scarier.
The final act is kind of terrifying.
Yeah, it really.
Running around with the shotgun with the light strapped to it in the old house. Yeah. And Jake Busey's being all Jake Busey.
Yeah,
he just
amps up the Busey beyond legal, but beyond what the law allows.
He amped it up so high that Gary Busey went, damn.
Yeah. Like, seriously, if there was any more Busey, then they would have had to have dispatched federal troops.
Exactly.
But that's one that if you haven't seen, you need to get on and check it out. It's really,
it's a fun flick for sure.
It's a fun flick, and it is what it sets out to be, you know?
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Michael J. Fox plays a con man who actually can see ghosts and uses his friendship with the ghost to help him with his own ghost-busting business.
Yeah, he has them haunt people, and he goes in and does an exorcism and gets money out of them.
and then they're gone, and then they leave. It's great. They're really good casting, a lot of fun, creepy special effects. It's worth a watch.
Yeah, and it's got Jeffrey Combs in it as well, chewing the scenery.
Yeah, man, he is like a moth.
Yes.
He's like, nom, 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 nom.
The guy from Reanimator, for those who may not know. But if you like this movie and you haven't seen stuff like Dead Alive or Bad Taste, gotta check those out.
The thing is, though, this is also, I think, the most accessible of Peter Jackson's early stuff because
it's not like covered in gore. And
it's not fucking gross. which is, that's a big thing for people.
I know, but I even know people who like are quite squeamish towards gore who think Dead Alive is just a barrel of laughs. But
yeah,
you know.
I can see that
because it's just so fun. I mean, like it's like my mom can't take violence in movies, but she loves Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah,
even when the guy is getting his disemboweled, the guy looks like Harry Potter. You know,
Harry Potter gets
Dylan
disemboweled.
Moran, I think is his name. He's getting disemboweled. My parents were just totally cool with it because the movie just worked for them on a character and script level.
I think once
the movie's got you there, you can get away with a
whole lot
with some disemboweling. You know,
right.
Next one's a horror movie that's not as good. The original Halloween 2.
See, I'm neither here nor there because I've never been big on slasher, and no matter how good a slasher movie it is, it's like I don't really care for it.
Yeah,
so,
I'm actually,
I dislike it. For what it is, it's good. But I'm just,
I'm a huge fan of the original Halloween. Like, it's one of my favorite horror flicks. John Carpenter just knocked it out of the park with that one. But I don't think any of the Halloween sequels are very good at all.
Nah, they're not.
They give Michael too much backstory. Like, in the first one, he's just... Your imagination fills in the blanks.
Yes, And then the second thing, like, when they said imagination, screw that.
Yeah, I know. And there's the girl who gets boiled to death in the hospital hot tub, which has a setting called scalding.
Yeah.
Because, of course, you would want to boil someone alive at a hospital. Am I right?
Of course.
Yeah. I mean,
haven't you ever been to a hospital?
I know. I mean, it's... Geez, I don't know. They like to boil shrimp in them. I don't know.
Yeah. Apparently, but, dude, that's how they make their money.
It takes place in Louisiana.
Yeah, but, it's all a crawdad. Mm-hmm.
But you know, they just give Michael too much backstory and But
The first one ended on a cool note, and then you know, we get dumb with it.
And you know, John Carpenter, who wrote this one, said that, you know, he was drinking when he wrote the Michael is Laurie's sister thing.
Uh-huh.
And he said, yeah, he goes, I just kind of wrote myself into a corner and had a few too many beers.
Uh-huh.
And I went, I'll make it her sister.
Yeah, awesome. good times. So but, yeah, that's...
But
that's...
I will say, though, if you're a fan of this movie, there is an... I don't think it's been available before, but there's an alternate ending on the Blu-ray. Oh. This is a Blu-ray release, so...
Well, all right.
Yeah, so next up we got one of my favorite Michael Mann movies,
mm-hmm.
and superior in every way to the Brett Ratner version. We have
hard to believe that one.
I know, but, right? Yeah. It's just one of those things nobody saw coming, Jim.
It really blindsided me. You want me to cut it off? Shut up, Edward. Now, this, what I give credit on this one for, everyone fawns and wets themselves over Anthony Hopkins as Lecter.
Yeah.
And he's good. He's really good. I prefer Brian Cox.
He's definitely more understated.
Well, yeah. And they give him more of a chance for you. I mean, fucking Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs is so overtly terrifying. You're like, how could anyone have ever trusted this guy?
Yeah. Oh, whereas yeah. I mean, you're creeped out the moment you see him. Mm-hmm. And what's great, his reveal in Silence of the Lambs, you see like all these people acting just completely insane.
Uh-huh.
And you're the camera's panning down. You see a guy like touching himself. You see people like crawling on the walls. And then you get to Hannibal Lecter, who's just standing in the middle of the room. And you're like, okay, this guy's messed up.
Yeah, there's something going on here. But
I cannot trust him.
Manhunter, though, gave us Lecter being charming when he got the address.
Mm-hmm.
That phone call that he made was so fantastic. Well, if you could just slide your finger on down and find, like, oh my God, that's, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's really well done, man. I mean, it's great. He doesn't get the it doesn't get the notice it deserves.
No.
It's really a fantastic movie that's just well done. It's very 80s.
Yeah, it's got that sort of soundtrack.
The Miami Vice aesthetic stitched into it a little bit. But
definitely. I can't remember the names of any of the bands, but
it's like Glenn Frey music happening everywhere. It's good, though. It's really an outstanding film. So there.
All right. Yeah, no, it's definitely one of my favorite Michael Manns. William Peterson's great.
Mm-hmm. Bill Peterson.
Tom Noonan is Dollar Hyde. Just fantastic.
That is, I think, the best part of it. That's where it's most believable.
Although, I will say, it has the best use of Inagata De Vita ever in a movie.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah.
Okay, so next, real quick, we've got some martial arts movies, and I'm a big mark for kung fu fan films. We got three Shaw Brothers movies coming from Dragon Dynasty, the offshoot of the Weinstein Company, and they do a good job with these releases. We've got Blood Brothers, Golden Swallow, and Killer Clan. And Golden Swallow is the follow-up to one of the classic Shaw Brothers movies, King Hu's Come Drink With Me. And it's directed by Chang Che, and it stars Chang Pei-pei, who you may remember as Jade Fox from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, if you like old-school kung fu movies, check these out. What were you going to say?
what I will recommend, though, and I just picked up the 36 Chamber Shaolin.
Oh, I love it.
And have you watched it with the commentary?
Yes, I have. The fucking RZA commentary.
RZA takes you to a graduate level program on that shit.
He knows his kung fu movies.
God, inside out, upside down, backwards,
I mean,
and forwards.
He's on there with I can't remember the film critic's name, but this, you know, kung fu movie scholar basically. And the RZA is
Andy Klein.
Andy Klein, that's right. And the RZA is, you know, knows just as much as this guy does.
The guy,
if not more.
He takes him to school. You're being polite. He fucking schools that kid. Man,
I mean, he's just like, yeah, this guy over here, he went on to this extra over there. He went to star in Mad Monkey Kung Fu,
this
which was also directed by Lau Kar-Leung.
This character was really this and blah. Yeah, the thing is, there's also another Kung Fu coming out called True Legend. Yen Wu Ping and Michelle Yeoh.
It's got David Carradine in it.
Yeah.
The late David Carradine.
The problem I have with a lot of the Kung Fu movies is it's real feast or famine. There's no middle ground with them. They're either really great or just what am I doing with my life?
Or they're just a complete mess. And you know, I've heard that a lot of Hong Kong filmmakers love to just live off the studio's expense account and make a movie.
It is obvious.
And oh my gosh, because some of these movies you watch do not make any sense. You can tell when they're working and when they're not.
Yeah.
But the Shaw Brothers movies are, a lot of them, they're either really good or kind of boring.
Uh-huh.
But the ones that are really good are really good. John Ford levels of good.
I think. Yeah. There's this. Yeah. Also, now the next ones are ones that we could go over pretty quickly. Like, you know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie's out on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
It gets so overshadowed by the series, but the movie was good. The movie was entertaining. It had a lot of great stuff in it. And it's overshadowed by this behemoth of nerdgasm. So
yeah, the more Joss Whedon-ishness of
right.
I haven't seen the movie since since like junior high school. Like,
it's worth checking out again. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'd like to check it out. It's got Donald Sutherland. It's got Luke Perry in it. Oh boy.
Yep. Paul Reubens steals the fucking show. It's good stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. Were you going to say, Sarah?
Oh, I was just going to say, but if bad movie fans.
Oh, yeah. The Citizen Kane of shit movies.
Almost. Oh. I mean, the Mystery Science Theater 3000 episode of Manos, The Hands of Fate is going to be a standalone special edition.
I have attempted to watch it multiple times and I can't make it through.
The movie with or without?
Even with the MST, it... Like even Clayton Forrester and Frank come on at separate times to apologize to
yes,
Joel for it.
They do.
It is so... I haven't been able to make it through it, even on MST. The movie's like, so bad.
Frank Conniff is like, listen, Joel, I know we've made you watch some movies in the past, but we're really sorry.
Yeah, we're really sorry about this. It's horrible, but it's, you know, it's an MST, so what can you do?
But I mean, like, these are the guys who dug it up, though.
Yeah.
The movie has cult status because of this show.
Oh, yeah.
Like they found it, and, man. But, I mean, like, there are some entertaining bad movies, like Plan 9 from Outer Space and The Room and stuff like that. But this movie is genuinely inept on every level.
It's not even enjoyably bad. It's just awful.
The only things that are enjoyably bad are Torgo's theme. Some elements of the production design.
Yeah.
And, like, there's the long shots of the countryside where the camera's just rolling, and
right,
that's where the credits were supposed to go, but they forgot.
Uh-huh.
Like, they just forgot to do the credits.
Inept. We forgot
and
credits.
And, like, you know, they're just like, oh, going through the countryside here, Manos, The Hands of Fate. You know?
God.
But yeah, I think the movie without Joel Crowe and Tom Servo is
just
about impossible to sit through.
Yeah.
But I'm a big fan of this episode of MST3K, so I'll be picking this one up.
Right on. Also, some television stuff coming out. The final season of Rescue Me, which aired the last episode this week. I mean, it came out like on Tuesday, I think. And now we're getting a week later, we're getting the final season. If you like the show, then it's worth checking out. If you haven't seen the show, check it out. I mean, it does at a point get a bit soap opera-y, but I still maintain that it's a very good show because it's about, you know, shit. What is the toll of actually doing that job on the people who do it.
Yeah, I've never seen an episode of it.
It's good. But I've always checked it out.
How many seasons are there? Seven?
Seven, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's worth seeing. Actually, no, six. Six.
Six?
So, yeah, check it out. I mean, it's not that difficult. The first season is phenomenal, and it's kind of diminishing returns from there, but you do get some points that spike and are really fantastic.
Doesn't
this last
Michael
season,
J. Fox show up at some point?
Michael J. Fox shows up as a guy in a wheelchair who's a real asshole. He's great. yeah.
Playing against type.
Yes, yeah. There's also the Doctor Who's Day of the Daleks is coming out, which if you're a Whovian, you got to get it. It's old school. It's second Doctor, so you know it's worth a check out for those who are into that. And of course, the greatest television show ever.
Of course, the most politically correct.
Yes, outsourced.
Yes,
or as VJ and I call it, LOL Indians.
What did you say to VJ? VJ is a friend of Jim's.
An Indian friend of mine who was
an Indian gentleman. Yes.
And I asked him, I said, is watching that show just like having someone scream the N-word in your face for 30 minutes? Because really, that's what it's got. It is insulting to Americans. It's insulting to Indians. It's insulting to Diedrich Bader. It's insulting to everyone. It is inept on every level of basic storytelling. It is just a fucking hot nightmare. It's really good. It's worth seeing.
Dietrich Bader is one of those guys who's really funny, but there's nothing he won't do for a paycheck.
Oh, no. As well, there shouldn't be.
Oh, man. That guy would do gay porn
if it paid the bills. If there were enough zeros on the check, hell yeah.
Yeah.
But no, this show just, it's, I'm surprised it made it to the end of the first season. The movie it's based on is quite good. Only reason I kept watching it was to torture my girlfriend. Quite literally, because she couldn't get behind it. She's like, this is so bad. I'm like, no, we're watching it.
This sounds like a loving relationship.
We are watching this, and you're going to sit there and watch it. So shut up. That's really what it was.
All right, Jim. So there's a big, fat elephant in this room.
Oh, yes, and we're going to...
This is the biggest release of the year.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of just...
Is the other person joining us on this, or are they unavailable?
No. Okay. We were going to have Andy from the Hollywood Saloon, but previous engagements have prevented him from joining us.
All right.
So it's just us.
Here we go. I'm sorry, I have to change the name of it formally. It's fucking Star Wars.
It is fucking Star Wars.
Fucking
man.
Star Wars. Here's how I'm likening. I'm not mad at George Lucas. I'm not. It's his shit. He can do as he wishes with it. Okay? Sorry, guys. It's true. They're not our movies. They're his. Now, here's where my problem comes in. You got a lot of fans who squeal and bitch and piss their pants about, oh, well, the last one, he ruined him. I'm never going to buy him again. And now, here's the thing. He's fucking telling us how he's going to fuck these movies up.
Yep.
He is telling us.
For those who don't know, they announced some more changes to Star Wars, and one of the most hilarious is when, spoiler alert, Vader throws the Emperor into the pit to kill him while he's electrocuting Luke.
It used to be a brilliant moment of silent resolve and a character turning that was beautifully done in a very cinematic manner. And George Lucas said, "Cinematic? Fuck that! I tricked myself into thinking that if you repeat something, then it's like poetry." He's actually said that. So now, what does Vader say?
No!
No! No! No! Like, God damn it.
It just shits all over a great moment.
Because, no, look at it. No, I'm sorry. Nobody could possibly have ever liked those movies ever at all without all of these changes.
No.
They're totally unredeemable and awful.
I mean...
Here's how I look at it. Okay, George Lucas would be like, if you voted for a guy for mayor of your town, and out of nowhere, he was awesome, and he fixed everything and made everything great and wonderful, and you reelected him, and it was like he made it better, and then you reelected him, and he kept it good, and it was awesome, and he goes, you know, I'm out of politics for a while, I'm tired, but I've set you guys up with some awesome shit. And then he comes back and fucks up. He comes back 20 years later, and he shows up, and he does an awful job. He gets everything screwed up, and the town's almost bankrupt. And then you reelect him, thinking, well, it can't be as bad. And you're like, okay, well, that wasn't as bad. But it was still really fucking bad. And then he does it again, and you vote for him again. You're like, oh, God, this guy's terrible. Then he quits for a little bit and comes back and says, runs on a platform of, I'm a fuck your town up good. That's like, vote for Lucas, I'm a fuck your town up good. And you go out and vote for him. And then you bitch, oh, my God, he fucked the town up. And then he comes out of office and he comes back again a few years later and says, you think I fucked it up before? I'm going to fuck you guys so good right now. And you vote for him, but you'll sit there and bitch about it. You know what you fucking do? Don't buy it.
Yes. Now,
fucking buy it.
This is the conundrum that nerds everywhere find themselves in. Nerds everywhere, they bitch and moan and complain, but at the same time, they cannot stand not being in on the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, oh, my gosh, you know, this movie is going to be horrible. This remake is going to be terrible. Oh, my gosh, George Lucas is raping my childhood with Star Wars. But guess what? You encourage him by
you
feeding this monster. I mean, you are voting with your dollars when you buy something. If you hate something and you buy it, you are telling whoever made it, more please.
And here's the thing. George Lucas said, I'm not going to release it with the theatrical cuts. I'm telling you that now. I'm not going to release the theatrical cuts. There are motherfuckers out there who are going to go spend between $80 and $140 buying this. And I'm supposed to feel bad? I'm sorry. You know, there are people who go, oh, I'll just buy the original trilogy for $40 on Amazon because it's cheap. Guess what, asshole? You're still getting the cut-up version that sucks that you're going to bitch about. It's not there anymore.
No.
It's gone. The movie you want doesn't exist. Try and find a rip of the Jay's Laserdisc of it, because that's the closest you're going to get to a good one.
He put out those three standalone ones, and there was a rip of the Laserdisc as a bonus feature. And Lucas apologists like to go, well, he did release them. No. He didn't. He basically wadded it up and threw it in our face. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm sorry, guys, but I have friends out there who are like, well, I want it for the special features, blah, blah, blah. I want it for this, that, or the other thing. Then, if you go and buy it, you have no right to bitch.
Don't
ever
fucking complain. That's all I'm saying. You know, this is a really angry way of saying it, but I know I'm coming off much more hostile than I want to. I'm tired of people complaining about shit that they make happen.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's your fault at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm sorry, but if you go and buy these Blu-rays, those special editions are a turd that you're going to have to eat and smile like Divine at the end of Pink Flamingos.
But
you're just going to have to do it.
It's worse than that, because what you're doing, the numbers of sets that this is going to sell, is telling Lucas, hey, if I go through and change it again, I'll re-release it and they'll buy it.
Of course.
And he's going to keep doing it.
Yeah. I mean, it's so creative. I mean, like, whether or not Lucas wants to keep messing with Star Wars, that's his prerogative.
Yeah.
It's creatively bankrupt.
Uh-huh.
And it's stupid and it's greedy. But it's his prerogative because I'm a capitalist and I believe he is allowed to do this.
Oh, hell yes. But at the
same time,
don't fucking buy it.
You know what? Don't go see Star Wars in 3D either.
Yeah, because you want to talk about getting worked. He is pulling a number on us with that one.
Oh, my
God. Because he's releasing them not in release order, but in chronological order.
Yeah, he's doing it Phantom Menace first.
Yeah, and that's...
You got to suffer through these ones that suck before you can get
And it's being released with a caveat. Well, if these do well, then I'll release the others. Fucking working you. Don't let him.
Like, if you think, well, if I go see Star Wars Episode 1, 2, and 3, maybe I'll get the original trilogy. I'm sorry, you're doing it wrong, and you're a junkie, and you need help.
And you won't get the original. You'll get these stupid cuts retrofitted for 3D.
You're gonna get a digital Han Solo dodging a shot at point-blank range from Greedo.
Yeah. Pointless cuts. You're going to have that, ooh, da, 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 ooh, da, da, that fucking dance number in Job. Oh, my God!
Jim, I think you need to do the Jabba dance number at karaoke one night, just vocally.
Jesus Christ, it's so bad. And I'm sorry, stop shoehorning Boba Fett into every fucking
movie. Oh my gosh, That is the worst, is how, like, fanboys love Boba Fett, so they're like, well, I guess we need to put Boba Fett in everything and just, like, completely take a crap all over his mystique.
Going, hey, look, yeah. Stupid, he's hitting on a waitress. Isn't that cool? No, it's fucking not! It isn't!
But, I mean, here's my thing on Star Wars, is that Star Wars is this... are two incredible movies and four mediocre to shitty movies.
Yeah.
And that I'm get held up Jedi, to this holy
I'm
status.
Jedi as mediocre.
It is
all
mediocre.
All the rest of them is shit.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry. Like, episode three sucks ass.
Episode three is not good. I think the only reason people give it a pass is because it has enough action in it to where you can ignore
it's
the bad story.
Dark.
It's dark. He kills children.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever. So do I, but I don't get a movie. I mean, never mind.
There's this blog called...
I can't believe you totally missed that one.
I was about to jump on a point that I was like, wait, Jim just made a joke about killing
kids.
Did
Jim just say something there?
but I mean, there's this screenwriting blog called Script Shadow, and John Nolte over at Big Hollywood linked to these. And it analyzes all the Star Wars movies from a purely story level, and it goes to town on Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, just in terms of how not to write a screenplay.
Right.
Like, it like they said, there are these things called scenes of death, where you have scenes that are just there to move the story along purely through expository dialogue. And they go through these Phantom Menace scene by scene, and it basically explain what happens in every single scene. And they said it is the most boring stretch of any movie ever. Because it's like, they go to the Senate, then they go to Amidala's office, then they go to the Jedi Council. And it's all just this turgid, creaky exposition.
That is nothing but people walking and talking to each other while a bunch of stupid shit happens behind them.
And, oh my gosh, you know, that's the thing, is like, people are like, wow, look at what he did with environments. All Lucas did was cram a bunch of crap in a frame.
Yeah, that's
like,
it.
Like what I hate about the A New Hope special edition cut is Mos Eisley was this town that was kind of teeming with these weird creatures and life. But it was kind of sparse.
Desolate, shitty border town.
It was this desolate, shitty border town, and then you get into the bar and you get all these kind of weird creatures. But now when they get there, it's just full of crap. It looks like one of the new films where he just shoved a bunch of robots and spaceships into every
single
fucking
frame. And
there's
no one there actually reacting to them, so it's just...
No.
It's fucking dumb.
But, I mean, it's just there to say, hey, look what I can do.
Now, the thing is, I like the original trilogy quite a bit.
Me too.
Really
I grew up
do.
With it. We wouldn't be bitching about it like this if we didn't love it.
My
you know?
Only problem is the number of people who are going to be showing up in their fucking homemade PVC stormtrooper outfits to buy money for something that they know they're not going to like, that they're going to be ultimately dissatisfied with, and something that they're going to complain about the maker for creating. No, I'm sorry, you lose your right to bitch. It's like people who don't vote complaining about what happened, or... people who do vote complaining that the person they vote for did what they fucking said they were gonna do.
Yeah.
You know, don't. Stop it. Fucking stop it. Yep. If you don't like what Lucas has done with the special features, don't fucking get it.
I mean, we live in a capitalistic society. You vote with your dollars.
And I'm standing
by
this.
You do not
have
to buy these because they are marketed to you. You know?
I'm gonna make a bold statement here. And I'm going to stand by it. I'm never going to spend another cent on Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Ever. I'm not. I don't care what it is. Unless there is, if there is a DVD or a Blu-ray release of the unaltered original theatrical releases. And I'm talking down to A New Hope doesn't have Episode 4 A New Hope on it.
Yeah.
If they go that far with it to a purist level, I'm on it. I don't have a problem with the special effects being cleaned up like you did on the VHS special
editions.
No,
not at all. But I actually want them to be remastered and cleaned up.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't want the movies changed
on
a character and story level.
Yeah,
don't do that.
Don't fundamentally alter what the experience is, because that's what they've done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, all my point is that I will keep coming back to, you don't have to buy it. I understand that you're a fan or a completist or whatnot, but if you buy it, don't you forfeit your right to complain about it because you know what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just realize that what you're doing is you are feeding the monster. You are feeding the person that is betraying something that's that important to you. If Star Wars is important enough to you that you've, you know, made it like Cole, Jedi Cole, he's probably going to buy it.
United States of Geekdom, yeah. For those who don't know.
Jedi Cole is probably going to purchase this first day.
Mm-hmm.
And it upsets me because he's not at him, but I'm upset that he's not going to get the experience from it he wants.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly think, yeah, the fans deserve that, but at the same time, they don't, because they're just going to buy the shit that they're sold. They're going to take all of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I do think that on some level, I'm torn on it, because I think that the fans deserve something, but at the same time, I agree with Clarkson. You deserve exactly what you work for. And
right.
if you're gonna sit and
you're
complain
entitled
about
to
it,
nothing. Yeah.
You know? And it's like, you know, they're using such a bullshit gambit on it. Like, I knew a guy who was like, yeah, I'm going to go out and buy another copy of Serenity today. Why? Well, because, you know, if they sell enough copies of it,
oh my
they
gosh.
Said they're going to do like, you,
what are those,
you really think they're going to bring this, they're going to bring the series back or give you a sequel? They're not going to. If they were gonna
I love
do
those
it,
people who yeah. love a TV show or a movie so much that they feel they have to buy it all the time just to get it made.
Yeah,
you know, and it's I gotta mail a bunch of oranges to the makers of Friday Night Lights or whatever.
Yeah, but send Mars bars to the head of the WB to bring back Veronica Mars. They're not gonna do it. They're not gonna do it. I just it's.
Just realize, just be glad what you got.
I don't like seeing people that I like getting worked like this. That's my problem with it, is George Lucas is exploiting it, and I think it's fucking wrong, and I want people to do what I do. Act like me. Don't buy it, you know?
Just, if you like these new changes and stuff,
hey,
then go to
it,
town. Have fun.
Yeah.
Eat it. Smile. You know, I'm glad for you.
But for those who don't, you gotta learn when to stand up. And yes, he has the right to do it, and I applaud him for whatever, but just don't ask me to fucking support you, George.
No. No. There's three boxes coming out. There's the box with everything. There's the old trilogy and the new trilogy box.
Yeah.
Don't buy any of them if you don't like what this series has become.
Yeah.
You know.
Because apparently now it's about, well, when you die, if you were a bad guy, you get to be your sexy young self in the afterlife.
Oh, gosh.
And don't feed me that horse shit that, well, when you die to the light side of the force,
side.
That's when... Oh, don't. No.
Oh, my gosh. Shut up.
Don't give me that horse shit.
Well, because... I feel bad for Sebastian Shaw or whatever the... Yeah, Sebastian Shaw, the name of the actor who played that guy. He just totally got cut out.
Well,
you know?
Because technically, Vader came back to the light at the end,
yeah.
So
yeah.
That is who it was. So don't split fucking...
That spin don't rent, son.
Don't trifle with me, son. Don't trifle.
Yeah. Oh, God.
it's this is one where it was a rant, and I think it's as a predictable a rant as you can come
across.
Oh,
yeah, there's nothing more old hats than, oh, my gosh, George Lucas, what are you doing?
But mine is directed on the people who are paying him to do it.
Yeah.
Stop paying him to fucking
frankly,
do
this
it.
Frankly, I hate what George Lucas has done, but you know what? It's all you with your wallets out there who keep buying it. Cha-ching, cha-ching, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Stand up for yourself.
Stand up for yourself and say, you know what? I can live without the bonus features.
Yeah, yeah.
Your life will be better. In fact, you will have an extra $80 in your wallet that you can go buy
beer
with. Beer
or wine or whiskey. You could go out to a bar and interact with human beings.
I know. Like, go to trivia night at a bar or something.
Yeah.
You know? Spend that $80 on beer. Hey, if you're like a huge, if you're, you know, kind of a trivia type, you know.
Yeah.
Win some money, you know, maybe meet
some
few...
people, meet a lady.
Meet
know?
A lady or a guy
or
if
dude,
you're
whatever.
If you're a lady,
or,
you know.
If you're a lady or a homosexual, you could
or
meet
a homosexual.
Man. I mean,
you could go to the trivia night at the pumping station in Memphis, Tennessee, the gay bar.
See, there we go. There's always an option, folks.
Yes.
But yeah,
you have a choice. This is capitalism, baby. Yeah. That's why I love it.
Yeah. I don't like directors going back and fucking with movies. Once it's done, it's done.
I'm with Martin Scorsese on that one. He said, you know, you don't get an A for effort. You know, the audience doesn't know this guy was sick that day. He said, I don't believe in this director's going back. What you made is what you made.
Yeah.
You did your best. Move on to the next thing. The only circumstance in which I support, and Scorsese said this, in which I support going back and doing a director's cut is if you were unfortunate enough to have the film taken away from you by the studio.
Other than that, you deal with what you got.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like George Lucas has this saying, films aren't finished, they're abandoned. No, that's just a justification for going back to the money pit, you know?
Yep.
It's you know, artists can't grow if they're working on the same movie their whole life, you know?
Hey, beard trimmers don't pay for themselves.
It's impeccably trimmed.
Yes, impeccable.
I'll bet he has someone do it for him.
Oh,
I'll
yeah.
Bet.
Yeah,
like,
I
bet he's got
too.
Like a guy dressed like one of the police officers from THX, you know?
If I had a money printing machine like Star Wars, I wouldn't do anything for myself, dude.
Oh, my gosh. That is a money printing machine.
It really is. It really, really is.
That thing, it's just.
So stop making it that, folks. Make him have to earn it. We don't have to earn the right to own these movies. He has to earn the right for us to buy them.
Yes. He has to put out something that you want to buy. And if what he puts out is not what you want to buy, don't buy it.
Because then when
you don't have to buy it. You're not obligated. And I know, completists, I know it's a hard urge to resist, but trust me,
because here's
you will
the
be
thing.
Better
George,
for it.
George Lucas doesn't get something that says, well, you're only going to get this much money off of this purchase of the box set because the person doesn't really like it. No, he gets all the money regardless. So
yep, he's got your money. He wins.
Yeah.
He wins.
So stop it.
Yep. Stop it, fanboys.
I think that I honestly we're the snake that eats itself now. I think we're kind of
we're a human centipede at this point.
So let's I don't have anything else to say on it, and I'm sure that somebody will take issue. I don't give a shit.
Well, whatever, you know. I don't have an email address set up for the show yet,
but eventually there will be. You could email me at thefilmthugs@gmail.com if you have a problem with anything I've said. Ha ha.
And, you know, you can find me at Big Hollywood or at Park Bench, PARCBENCH, or at MidnightMovieCowboys.com.
I'm also at TheFilmThugs.com.
Yep.
We've got a show that came out yesterday, so check it out, too. But,
yep.
Yeah, be prepared. Oh, if you send a rant to me, be prepared to be met with a crushing wall of apathy.
Yes.
Because I'm just like, I don't give a shit. You disagree with me? Big fucking deal.
That is the response verbatim that you will get. Yeah. So if you were gonna send something in, consider that your response.
There it is. But if you totally agree with me, I do need that vindication. I do need that. I need that reinforcement. My ego is a fragile thing. So
Jim is quite insecure.
I really am.
He comes off as quite boisterous on this show, but really he's a fragile man.
Yeah, I'm a fragile. You know? I'm a tiny little man. So
he's deeply insecure.
Yeah.
So.
Check those out and read his columns and let us know what you think.
Yeah, you know, send some feedback, you know, in the comments section of Park Bench or where the show goes up at thefilmthugs.com or at Big Hollywood. If you want to send an email about this show, send it to midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com, which is the email for my other podcast, if you want to get a little more personal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me on Twitter at Hunter Deucing, D-U as in David, U-E-S-I-N-G. Jim, you're on Twitter, aren't you? You tweet like once in a blue
kind
moon.
Of. Kind of on Twitter. So yeah, it's the Film Thugs on Twitter. So if you want a weekly thing saying new show up, then do it.
All right. If you got some feedback, you know, send it on in. Yeah. Let us know. Let us know what you think. Anyways, what's our sign off, Jim?
I think that for this show we have to go with so fare thee well and beware the siren song of home video purchasing. It is a harsh mistress indeed.
She is a harsh mistress indeed.
Yeah, go buy some shit.
Go buy some good movies that aren't Star Wars. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Love wasn't too